No runs, no hits, no errors. Sounds like a game that may be going on in the background. Not one that that I want to hear any more about tonight, but anyways. In a little Midwestern town, there's a story told of a lady who had passed away, and she had the distinction of being the oldest resident in town. And so when she died, the editor of the local paper wanted to print up a little article and remembering this dear old lady, except he couldn't think of anything to say when he sat down to write the article. And so Miss Jones, we'll just say her name is Jones, Miss Jones had never done anything terribly wrong that stood out. She'd never spent a night in jail. She had never been out on a drunk, so to speak. So nothing really stood out in that way. But on the other hand, she had never really done anything significant at all. And so while this is still on his mind, the editor goes down to the local cafe, and there he runs into the local funeral director. He too evidently was having the same problem. He wanted to put something nice on the tombstone besides just Miss Jones, born such and such a date, died such and such a date, and leave it at that, but he couldn't think of anything to write about her. And so the editor decided he'd go back to his office, and he'd assign the job of writing this small article both for the paper and to come up with a phrase, if you will, for the tombstone. He was going to give that job to the first reporter that he saw. And so when he got into the office, he ran into the sports editor. And so the sports writer got the assignment, and somewhere in a little community and somewhere out in the Midwest, there's a tombstone that reads this: "Here lie the bones of Nancy Jones. Her life held no terrors. She lived an old maid. She died an old maid. No hits, no runs, no errors." I'm afraid to say that may be the way some Christians live their lives. Never really done anything terribly wrong to speak of, but I wonder how much they have done by way of accomplishment that would be significant to the Lord and to His kingdom. And I'm wondering, is there something that holds us back from doing good works? We understand from Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, that we're to let our light so shine before men they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. We don't do those good works just to be seen of men, but rather that those men might be able to glorify our Father in heaven. Excuse me. So I'm wondering, is there anything that holds us back? Is it fear? Do we fear going and trying to do a good work? Is it fear of rejection, fear of the unknown? Is it something to do with our past experiences? We might say, well, it didn't work. However many years ago, 25, 10, 4 years ago, last year, it didn't work. Probably won't work now. Sometimes that's how we approach those things. Sometimes it might be hurt feelings. Well, we tried this work, but our feelings got hurt, so we just won't do it anymore. Sometimes that's the case with people. Sometimes it's the case that maybe we have no real direction. Or maybe it's more like this, we want to do a good work, but we're not sure what to do or how to go about doing it. And so we need some direction. That may truly be the case. What's holding us back? Those are answers that we have to ask and we need to answer so that we might be doing those works for the Lord. There's a number of passages that we might could read tonight, but I want to draw your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Second Timothy 1, verse 7, down through verse 12. This kind of answers all the questions concerning what might hold us back, those things that we just mentioned. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So right out the gate, Of course, this is to Timothy, reminding him to stir up that good gift that is in him, to rely upon that faith that was first in his grandmother and his mother and so on. And so he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. You're going to have to overcome fear. And often it's the case, sometimes, especially in the fishers of men, I'll give you a little hint. Sometimes we use this acronym concerning fear. It's false evidence that appears real. So often that is the case. False evidence that appears real. Something just standing there, something we built up in our mind, and yet it's not real. It's just something that's there that's in our mind. And so God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of a sound mind, which means that if we have a want to and a desire and the compassion and the love, the power of God is there and the wisdom of God is there to show us that way to go and to do those good works. We have His Word. And so if you continue to read on, He says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, Paul says, but be a partaker of the afflictions and sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto Paul says, I've been appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause, he says, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I think about those things that might hold us back. And then I read a passage like this where Paul is encouraging a young man, a young gospel preacher. He says, we shouldn't be ashamed and we shouldn't be fearful. And we need to accept that sharing in, if you will, that fellowship with Christ and His sufferings. The gospel is powerful. It keeps us motivated. It keeps us going. It's by that which we have been saved. We've been called also with an holy calling, he says. Now again, not according to our works. And that's key. We need to remember they're not our works. They're God's works that we need to be a part of. And I don't know of any more encouraging passage than the last part of this. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. This evening, as we think about those things that might hold us back, let's put them in the back of our mind. Let's get them gone from the forefront of our mind. Let's keep moving forward. And let's study God's Word. Let's grow together, but let's grow together in a way so that this community knows that we're here. This community knows that we're reaching out to them. This community knows that we love them with the compassion of Christ, with the love of Christ, with the love of the gospel and the power of the gospel. Let's go out and let's do those good works so that our Father in heaven might be glorified. This evening, if you have a need of encouragement, one of prayer, that we could pray for you, that we could encourage you in some way, maybe you're struggling with something and you need prayers for strength, we'd love to pray for you. We'd love to encourage you. We'd love to hold you up and lift your name up before God for those very things. Maybe it's the cases of one this evening who needs to obey the gospel, and we'd love to assist you with that. And if you believe Jesus to be the Son of God, you'd be willing to repent of sin, confess your faith in Christ, to be baptized to wash away your sins. You can do that this very evening, and the Lord will add you unto His church, His body, Acts 2 and verse 47. So how can we help you? Come to the front while we stand, while we sing.